this thing. No title again.
And I did not live in a little money.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Ooh, yawning. Ooh, are we on? This is just going to be a short introduction to Dixon Jane's podcast number 431. I have not yet released 430. I'm way ahead of myself, but 430 got filled up from my weekend visit in Sault Ste. Marie. So I'm not going to say much about that. This one will be posted, sometime in the future, long after that one about the Sioux weekend is released. So there's no point in me going over things now other than to say, man, oh man, am I ever glad I went up there and stayed with the Michel Broadbeck family. It was a lot of fun. Monday. I got back in last night. It's Monday. And it's, oh, shit. Start of the week, get things done, and I accomplished very, very little today. I'm still planning on making that book for my wife with old photos. The trouble is I'm going through all these albums. I went through the last of them today. And I'm wanting to scan pictures of her because she looks so different at different times of her life and different ages. And I'm a decent enough photographer. I mean, I've been taking pictures seriously since 1967, so we're not bragging here. We're just saying I know something about composition and lighting and shadow and framing subjects and so on. And so I wouldn't put in pictures that weren't very good. But the trouble is I want to put in pictures of her. They just look so nice. And I'm thinking she might say, why me? I thought it was going to be about the boys. I guess it'll be about us. I'm thinking down the road it'd be a book that the boys would want to have too. Especially the early travels, like the pictures of her and I. Not enough of them, mind you, but going through Europe. There's so few pictures. But each one of them that I find, Alhambra, 1987, or Barcelona, and then, Moscow and somewhere else. There are just so few pictures that were taken. I think some have gone missing. But it brings back this past. I'm looking at somebody so young and so thin. It's as if I'm disassociated. Like, is that still me? What's the thread joining that person and me? It seems like it's been broken probably many times, but I guess not. I guess that's just the way life unfolds, that we become old men eventually, and we look back at a life already spent. I'm not quite there yet. I still got a few years in me, But it has been very, very special. And it's been, I guess, a good exercise. Anyway, that's what I got done today instead of all the bill organization and the records for my company and, claims to submit and just a shitload of stuff. That's just not a whole lot of fun. One big piece of news today I got was the invitation to come back and work again, teach again at the college. Only the funny thing is, and it's not so funny, I will have double the course load, double the work easily than I had this semester, and I probably won't get any more pay because, it's a different contract. I'm a sessional now, no longer on this one. So every third contract or so, you might luck out and get a partial load union contract. And then, bam, you can't have two of those in a row, so you're back to the regular ones. So instead of just having, like, a week of three-hour class, a two-hour class, I got a three-hour class, I got 6 hours of teaching, and then another 2 hours. Like, it's double, like two classes on a day, and it's exhausting. 2 3-hour classes, I'm telling you. May not sound like much, fuck you. Keeping a class going, keeping people interested, animated, active, putting your voice out there. And it's like part of me just wants to say, oh, fuck, it's not worth it. But you can't decline, that's what you're offered, it's sort of take it or leave it. So there's a part of me glad that I've been invited back to the college. You know, I'll be 66 the day I finish, actually. Well, maybe that would be it. Maybe that could be. Maybe that's a bit symbolic. It actually ends. Class ends on my birthday when I finish 65 and turn 66. Maybe that's a time to pack it in. I don't know. So, you know, that is with mixed feelings. I also, Dad, I was inspired by Dave Brobeck and all that he does for his family. And so I went out grocery shopping, and I bought the ingredients to make, what is it here that I'm going to try and make tonight? A pesto chicken Florentine. Pretty simple from the looks of it, but that's what I decided to do. I thought, no, my wife comes home, she's going to be tired. It would be a very nice change for her if I actually at least made an effort, regardless of how it turns out. And I chose one that didn't have too many mushrooms and peppers, which my son is not fond of. So this is a pretty basic recipe. I'm not going to get into it right now, other than to say I think I have all ingredients and ingredients. And I got to go back home and get started on that. So that's all it is. It's just a start to another Dixon James episode. I just needed to sort of check in, you know. I got back. I haven't recorded any clips since leaving Sault Ste. Marie. By God, do I love Porter Airlines. And would I love to fly again with them. But that's it. So anyway, and it's been the Canadian, Great Canadian National Day of Podcasting. So I'm just listening to that old familiar voice, James Whittingham, on Best Episode Ever. And there are a whole lot more to get through before the day's over. So take care. I'll be back in a little while, okay? Take care.
Hello, baby.
Hi, honey.
There's a rockabilly party Saturday night.
You gonna be there?
I got my invite.
You gonna bring your records?
Will do.
I'll bring Perry.
I'll bring Ella. We'll be swinging, cause I'll be bringing that Frankie fella. Don't forget that new Fats Domino too. And the latest disc by Mr. Pat Boo. I'll bring Elvis.
A Moshuka.
I'll bring Andy.
And some new cuts by the crew cuts will come in handy. Yada-da-da-da-da-da. I can hardly wait to be with you when they dim the light at the rockabilly party Saturday night.
Don't forget Teresa and a big supply of Nat King Cole and that Mitchell guy.
And Dinah and Sarah and Georgia too. And especially for me, bring you. I'll bring Patty. We'll bring Monty and Bella Fonte and Pearly Babe Bailey.
Takes two to tango.
By the way, put Johnny Ray on your list.
Ooh.
Tab and Tommy and whomever I've missed.
Love those diamonds.
Love those aces. The four lads kill me. The platters thrill me. Hardly wait to be with you when they dim the light at the rockabilly party Saturday night. At the rockabilly party Saturday night.
Chick, chick. Oh boy, am I tired. I'm so tired I'm not even holding the recorder. I've stuck it up in my visor, so it might sound a little different. I don't know. My voice probably sounds a little rough. Last night was the Boninkai, the annual Boninkai for the Canada-Japan Society. I was very happy that two teachers from my college came. I invited one. He brought another friend. And then our buddy Brian came. So there was actually a contingent, four English teachers. at this sort of Japanese event. It was a blast. We had it at the Ajisai, a little restaurant on Yonge Street. And, you know, you pay your money and bam, they throw out the food and they have live music and draws, prizes. But mostly just a lot of very friendly people mingling and talking. And I just had a blast. I really, this is like the first time I've been when I haven't been president, had to make a speech and stuff. But some people don't even know that. And I showed up, I put on a jacket and tie, and I just really had fun. There are times when I love social situations. Not everybody's like that, but I can just talk to strangers, I can get engaged, I can be fun. And things like this is just sort of bring out something in me. Highlights were the conversations. I had a very long talk at the bar with the Consul General of Japan. And these are people you don't, you know, we know. And he's a super nice guy. Tie off, relaxed, and we talked Porter Airlines. We talked economy. We talked trade. We talked Japan. And just, these are intelligent people, you know. These people have got a, you don't get into the Japanese Foreign Service unless you've got a very good education and you're well-trained. And some are a little bit stiff and uptight. This current one is not. He's really a fine fellow. And there were two other people from the consulate there as well, all friendly, all people you really enjoy being in their company with. So it's, I'm really glad. I mean, I want to keep that connection forever to Japan, even though I've stepped off the board this year. Lots and lots of people there I just know for, you know, over the past 15 years being involved with this organization. So many familiar faces. And then the director of the Japan Foundation came. Now, just before he came, I got to watch myself here because I seem to be spilling over the separation between Ken and the Scarborough dude. The walls seem to be crumbling down. Maybe that's a good thing. I still prefer, you know, amongst the podcasting community to be referred to as Scarborough dude. That's my role. That's the thing I play. It is my line of defense. Should anybody, you know, Japan-related or my college or anybody else come and say, what kind of a man is that who seems to have a fondness for pot, like the mayor of Toronto? And so this is, you know, that's just my character, sorry. It's a role I play. But in fact, I stepped outside. I'll confess, I'll own up here. A good friend there was ready for, can you want a toot? And we're not talking snorting coke, folks. We're talking about just a little hit off a pipe, you know. God, should I be even, you know, why am I even going here? Well, it's because, damn it, I've told you this before. It's something I like to do. It's sociable. It's my holy communion. It's the partaking of communion. Got back in afterwards and had even more fun because you get into, you know, I don't get wasted. I don't get really confused and zonked. It's not the way it affects me. It just makes me fine-tune a little. It's almost like, oh, the picture's just a little clearer now. And if you're engaged in a conversation, you're really engaged, and you're picking up nuances, and you're animated, and people, nobody notices at all. Nobody could tell. Nobody's going to say, oh, my God, that guy's high as a kite. You're not. You're not at all. You're just engaged, which is why I simply like this stuff. By the way, big news. Just before heading in there, I mean, it's not a strip of Yonge I often walk down, but there was a pot shop basically selling all the paraphernalia. You look at, there's a whole wall. It's crazy. Of Easy Off oven cleaner, WD-40, Ajax, all these household products. And what the fuck? Well, they you know, and Florient and Airspray and stuff. And you think, geez. And you realize, wait a minute. That's not WD-40. That's a WD-40 tin that inside has a glass container to keep your stash so that nobody would mistake it for anything else. Anybody's doing a cursory search of your house, nobody's going to pick up the tin of WD-40 or Easy Bake Oven Cleaner and suspect that's where you keep your weed. Well, of course, now that I've given the secret out, they will. But it was funny. I mean, and a couple of guys came in their heads and, oh, man, hey, look at this. Look at all those cans, man. That's for your stash. Whoa. You know, it was funny. It really was funny. And so I told the clerk I was buying a vaporizer. I bought. God, do I have to? I have to keep going backwards in this conversation. It's crazy. Further back, thanks, Doug Slugger, for pointing out to me a startup of a very, very cool vaporizer, pen size one. Now, they were going for $99. You know, they were going to ship hopefully by February. Another maybe $20 for shipping and stuff. And you got it sight unseen, but you got this thing, and it looked, from the looks of it, wow, these guys have, this is going to be the best product on the market. I really believe the hype and what I saw, and I was very impressed, and I was pretty sure I was going to get one of those. But I went into this shop on Yonge Street and said, do you have any small vaporizers? For those of you who don't know, these are for cooking your herbs so that you're not getting all the smoke and stuff. It's just super high temperature from an element running a couple of batteries, and you just get the pure THC, and it gives you a very, very nice little hit. I've tried these things before. Believe me, they work. But I wanted a real small one, and so I went in and asked them, do you have any small ones? And they're showing me all these bigger, you know, yeah, these ones are portable, and no, I want something that fits in my pocket. Well, we just got these in. $120. They look fantastic. They come with a USB plug to charge the battery on your computer or a wall outlet. Like, all the extra paraphernalia, the cleaners, everything comes. They come in a beautiful box, complete assembly. The only caution, she said, is after prolonged use, the elements may burn out, but you can buy a replacement element for about $20 or so. I said, boom. I'll take it. So I have myself a vaporizer. I don't have it with me now, and you're probably going to hear more about that on this podcast, maybe even for the inaugural run. I've got to read the instructions and try it out first before you do it. You know, just turn it on, make sure everything works. And so I'm excited about that. This is good for me. It's good for my health. The weird thing is, oh my God, how much do I reveal on this podcast? Shouldn't I be holding back more? There's a little bit of shame and embarrassment for my children hearing this. Oh, once your dad is some doper. My wife would shudder. But the other part is, hey, this is real. Why would I hide this? Isn't the whole thing about the Dixon Janes podcast integrity, honesty, being out there, quit fucking living in fear? And isn't that something we celebrate in Canada, the fact that you can be yourself? This is a conversation I had with my Japanese guests last night at this event. They weren't my guests of the CJS. Canada is a pretty good place, you know. We're pretty lucky here. Anyway, while there, of course, another friend says, let's step out and have a toot. I did. I came back in and suddenly I'm boom, deep into conversation. I believe I may have revealed almost a little too much information to somebody I felt it was really important to start telling some personal stories to. Very closely engaged. Did give my hand, the card to the guy, and suggested that we go out and have a drink or even a coffee together and strengthen the friendship. So we'll see if that happens. Japanese people have to be a little bit guarded about who they associate with and how and on what terms. So we'll see. But I took things to another level. Let me put it that way. At the time, it seemed a very good idea, having just come in fresh from the toque. Now, in the light of day, I'm thinking, I wonder what he really thought of the things I was telling him. Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't matter in the end. There was a Nijikai, the party after the party. Doug predicted I would be podcasting from the Eglinton Gold Station. Good guess, Doug. But I made a point before I went out. In fact, before I went out, I said, okay, don't bring your recorder with you. Just don't. And don't even bring a joint. Well, I did anyway, but don't. But the other point is, hey, man, you know you're going to want to, and you know you're going to enjoy the party a lot more. So, hey, go for it. But I did leave my recorder at home. I just thought, no, I don't want to, and I would do it today when I'm a little bit, not hungover, but certainly tired. I still had to get up for my 8:30 class this morning. I did go to the Nijikai. I positioned myself with the lovely Lisa across from me and another new person who is a fast favorite. A fast favorite. Fast becoming a favorite. Has always been a favorite. Lovely young lady that I do meet at these gatherings and just have a fun teaching. Now, again, she sees me as her father. I'm old enough. So there's nothing going on here, folks. You know, we're not talking dirty. We're not talking that kind of stuff. We're talking friendships. And it just, I just make a point. Ooh, there's one of the cats. There's one of the cats. I'm in the cat section of Belfry's Park, by the way. Rare to see them kitty-catting around. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful in the wild. So, position myself. In fact, I was sitting beside a guy, and I just yanked him out of the chair. I said, hey, as soon as she walked in, hey, scram, buddy. She gets this seat. And it was kind of funny. He didn't think I was serious. I said, you're fucking right, I'm serious. Move. I'm not going to talk to another English teacher when I have a pretty young lady of a very interesting background and heritage from Montreal to talk to. So, anyway, I'm just seeing. That's the fun. That's the sharing. You know, just great. Pissed off that I ordered a beer that on the menu. Oh, a Bose. I thought it was, you know, $7.10 a pint or something, which is ridiculously high anyway. She just walked off with my $10 and a big smile. And it was a fucking $10 beer. Come on now. That's not quite right. There had to have been something in there. But anyway, I only had the one and I left. And managed to make it in to work this morning. Was upset when two students showed up, but they left early, fortunately. And I listened to the Marshall McLuhan Variety Hour, said it right that time, on the overhead sound system in an empty classroom. It was very cool to be standing at the teacher's podium listening to Bob and Mark and Dave. That's probably a first, played through a college sound system in a big empty classroom. That show undoubtedly moved right up to the top, number one on the hit list. That is my favorite podcast out there now. And I think it was from the start. And I do think it makes a little bit of a difference when you know the players, you know. Somebody coming in, you're not going to measure it for every word or thought or joke. But we know the people, and you can picture them, and you're seeing the interactions, and you're feeling how much fun they're having doing it. Man, that's podcasting gold. It really is. Really, hats off to Anthony Marco for holy fuck. He's at his prime in podcasting. The empire he's got going, holy fuck. I mean, he is one Rojic rolled into one, like the whole fucking system. Bam. His emporium. He's got it. But that aside, back to me now. Thank you. Thank you. Really, really enjoyable evening. Today is going to be a day of recovery. I'm very tired now. In fact, I'm at the park. I think I'm going to tilt the seat back and have a little nap. And then Saturday night, another party, a house party. It's become a tradition. Holiday mania. It's a wonderful party. I can't tell you too much about it. The fellow makes special drinks, makes them up, makes names. He's a chef on top of that. He and his wife both. Unbelievable. The spread of food and different guests. And the same thing. I will step out, have a toot, come back in, and suddenly, holy moly, this is a party. But, and another person I had a conversation with, and it was just, I was quite duplicitous. I think that's the word, duplicitous. I knew one side of a story she didn't know I knew, and I got her side of the story. And it's very complicated, probably sounds stupid, me just referring to it that way, but it was very, very interesting. All the nuances. One thing that came out, now I can reveal this publicly here, first time in the Dixon James podcast. There's a man, Mr. Nakatani, who was head of Toyota Canada. And he is one of those people who is very, very special. He's not just a man, not just a company president, not just this. He's one of those men that how do you describe it? They're just in another realm. You meet, these people are rare. It's a combination of intelligence, humility, kindness, a generosity, all sort of put together where somebody is just living sort of on a higher plane than the rest. And he is one of them. And the woman I was talking with said, we're starting a movement to give him sort of not an Order of Canada, but certainly the minimum, an honorary Canadian citizenship. And, I said maybe something else, some other award, somebody that Canada needs to recognize for what he's done for economy, for what he's done in his good works, and for a number of other things. So stay tuned. You're hearing it here first. This is, this is the inside stuff, the kind of scoops you get when you hang out with certain people. And I hope that comes to me. I really hope I've suggested the Japan Society. You might have heard, maybe here's another one, another related story. Joey Taylor. Now, some of you have heard of that special guitar that's made up of pieces of wood from all over Canada. Each piece of wood having a piece of Canadian history, like the part of the ore from Pierre Trudeau's paddle and each piece of wood. So there's a whole six-string nation, it's called. And there's a book about it. He was a featured speaker at PAB conference in Kingston. Everybody had their photograph taken with that guitar. Touch. I even have a picture of the rock and the guitar together. Really, really, really interesting story. And this guitar is a living museum. Travels the country. It's up north. It's everywhere. Joey, this is his life's work. Is bringing this in, and each piece of that guitar has a piece of Canadian history embedded in it. A wonderful, wonderful thing. And when I first met him, in fact, it was at Kingston that very time, I said, where's the Japanese connection? Where is the piece of, cherry wood, something that talks about the Japanese-Canadian experience? And he said, I'm so sorry that there is nothing on the guitar that he tried for Joy Kagawa, Canadian writer of note. That's another story I want to get into. I had this conversation with Dave Broadbeck when I was up there. Wrote Oba-san, and is well-known person. Her childhood home still exists in Vancouver, the cherry tree out in the backyard. And he wanted a piece of that. Somehow this was not negotiated. I said, look, it'll be my mission to make sure there's a piece of Japanese memorabilia history in there somewhere. He said, well, there is room in the case. So we started. We approached a few people, the Japanese Heritage Committee. I started making some introductions. I just said, I'll be the in-between person, but I will get somebody at the JCCC through the Japanese Heritage Committee to find you something fitting. And he said, oh, well, what I really want is something from the Japanese baseball team, the Asahi, which Fuji TV may be making a documentary on. The Asahi, I hope this is recording. Yep. The Asahi were an amazing baseball team for all Japanese players when Japan was very much discriminated against back in Vancouver, back in the old days. An amazing record, and you can still see in showcases a glove, a team uniform, bits and pieces that have survived. I there was a book written about them. Probably the last of the players has died by now, but it was a very interesting little piece of Canadiana. Anyway, I brought Joey to the center with me.
We had a meeting. This is quite several months ago. We met with the right person from the Heritage Committee. Joey said, look, I'm doing a baseball thing in the fall with the guitar. It'd really be great if I had something representing that team. They found the piece. They were able to cut a little piece of cloth, nothing written on it, just a piece of cloth from the inside of one of the original Asahi team baseball shirts. This is now attached to the guitar strap. Even better than inside the case, it is now officially. So in a way, I fulfilled my mission. I feel quite good about that, actually. I backed out once they'd made the connection. I said, I don't need to be have anything more to do with this. And they went ahead and they got it. And I don't know if it's actually been officially sewn in yet, or he has the piece and they're doing it, but it will be if it's not already. And I feel good about that. I'm happy about that. So now, officially, this Six String Nation guitar has a piece of Japanese-Canadian history, a very important, very symbolic piece of Japanese-Canadian history tied to that guitar. So there you go, Mark Blevis. I hope you're listening, because I know that story meant something to you, the whole story of the guitar. It touched us all. I mean, really, really did. It's a story you want to follow up, and if you Google it, Six String Nation, you'll find it much more. I guess we should finish things off. I'm going to put on a podcast, maybe Anthony Marco. Holy fuck, come on, what's going on here? Is it recording or what? What is this sign? I don't know. Anyway, boys, girls, nap time. Oh my God, 22 minutes. I apologize. So take care, and we'll be back real soon. Thank you very, very much for your listening patience. Bye for now.
I went to a garden party with my old friends, a chance to share old memories, play songs again. When I got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me, I didn't look the same. But it's all right now, I learned my lesson well. You can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself. People came from miles around, everyone was there. Yoko brought a walrus, there was magic in the air. Over in the corner, much to my surprise, Mr. Hughes hidden Dylan's shoes, wearing his disguise. But it's all right now, I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself. La da da, la da da da. Them all the old songs, I thought that's why they came. No one heard the music, didn't look the same. I said hello to Mary Lou, she belongs to me. When I sang a song about a honky tonk, it was time to leave. But it's all right now, learn my lesson well. See, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself. La da da, la da da da. Someone opened up the closet door, step Johnny B. Goode, playing guitar like a ring and a bell, and looking like you should. Now if you gotta play at garden parties, I will. wish you a lot of love, but if memories were all I say, I'd rather drive a truck. And all right now, I've learned my lesson well. See, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
Tick, tick. Testing, testing. And that is exactly what I'm doing. I've just, only moments ago, tried out for the first time the Gordon Liddy Herbal Vaporizer I purchased in Toronto. It was a spur of the moment thing. I was on my way to that party, to our Boninka, and I passed a head shop. Thought, Doug had planted the idea in my mind when... He pointed at a very nice portable model on Indiegogo, being released maybe in February. But this was a bird in the hand, this one. I walked into the store, nice sales clerk, can you show me what you got in a small pen-size vaporizer? There was some other bigger models behind. I'm going to get the name of the place and pimp it out later on. But anyway, I thought, what the hell, man? You know, it's there. I've learned from the past, when you see something in your hand in front of you and it's easily accessible and it's what you know you're going to want anyway and the price is reasonable, do it. And that's what I did. $120. Comes in a really nice box. Little instruction booklet, although there's not much in the way of instructions, but there is a breakdown of the items, and it has all the pieces, which you can see easily. I'll tell you what it comes with. And a wall adapter, a six-pin wired USB charger, a tool for digging out. One is a poking end and one is a little spoon end, which is great. A cleaning brush for the little dishes, right? The pin herbal tank, glass thing. A little sealed package of alcohol swabbed cleaning tips, which I haven't had to use yet, but I can see I will be. Rechargeable G-Pen battery. Well, it's not six, it's G-Pen, they're calling it, okay? And then two little glass containers for your stash, your whatever it is you're smoking, which is terrific. And then just, charging, loading, turning on and off, and getting started little thing. So it's in a nice little box, makes a very nice gift. So here's the problem. I was thinking of getting one for my son, and there's a part of me, I'm trying to wean him away. Hey, shouldn't be smoking that stuff, you know. It's makes you lazy, and you just, time gets wasted, and you don't focus. So no, it's not a good thing. But the other voice in me is saying, hey, if he's smoking anyway, vaporizer is a much better way to go. I cannot believe it took me this long to make the change. I still like sharing a joint and so on. I mean, it's just easy to do, and I always will. But I knew health-wise, getting one of these is a much better thing to do. And since I only take a little toot anyway, it was just the perfect thing. It's beautiful to look at. Very nice to design. I'm very, very impressed, you know. And like I said, just surprised it took me this long. It was a couple of exposures to them. MMD would be one, you know, if I'm giving out names here, which I shouldn't be. And who else? Others, okay. Anyway, I've been turned on to the beauty of them, and that's it. Anyway, I'm just testing to see if it worked. And believe you me, if you're inside my head now, you wouldn't be asking that question. It worked. Okay, leave it at that, and back to you. I recorded two episodes of Buffalo Bill's Canadian Podcast Buffet today, and that was a lot of fun, too. Went very smoothly. Great working with Anthony. Just a consummate pro, that guy. Just a pro. Okay, I gotta go. We're off to a party, me and Brian. Bye for now. We'll be right back.
you did it. You waltz right past the door while we struggle here at the gates and can't get through. We could have followed you.
Sitting here in the car in a parking lot where I don't normally sit, at the beachside. It's kind of crazy. It's a bit cold out, so I just don't feel like getting out there, and I'm kind of tired too. But I've got a beautiful view. This is sort of the east end of the Bluffers Park area. So you're looking up directly up at cliffs from the parking lot. It's a nice walking trail and a substantial beach, a sandy beach, which is wonderful during the summer. It's full. Yacht club just behind me. So it's a different view, but it's the same old park. And it's sort of on my way home. I spent the night at Brian's. You know Brian. Guy lived in China, but mostly lived his entire working career up north. Nunavut, Rankin Inland, Baffin Island, all over the place. And now all three of his sons are up there and his wife. And he's going up for Christmas. Anyway, got invited to the Food Fella's party. I think I can say that name. I'm going to be careful, but let's call him Food Fella. And he has an annual Christmas party, and it's a blast. It's, you know, first of all, tons of food, but more than that, the house is really nice, and I've scouted it out, and I know, take a seat. There's three sort of movie theater-style seats facing his big TV right near the bar. And I realized, wow, get one of those seats and you're set for the night. You don't have to be. Everybody's going to be coming around you because they have to come up to the bar to order drinks. He makes a list of drinks with custom titles. There was the Cupcake, there was the Grinch, there was something. And every year he invents new ones with different alcohols and serves them up. And friends go up. And most people, like Brian, will go through all of them. You'll have at least one of each and then maybe three of your favorites. So, you know, people are getting good buzz going with the alcohol in these things. But all flavorful. I stay away from them. I just stay away from them. I stick to beer. He always has a keg of Heineken or something up there behind the bar, and you get nice, fresh, cold beer from the keg, which is great. And then it's always full of charming women. Now, mostly with their husbands or boyfriends, but that doesn't stop old men like Brian and myself from just chatting. And it's fun, and I'm going to say this, I know it sounds awfully, braggartly, and of course with my British heritage, and I'm saying British heritage because that was my influence, that was my mother and her side of the family, and you're not supposed to brag, you're not supposed to say nice things about yourself, so I try and hold myself back, but hey, there are some things I'm good at. And chatting with people, as I've already mentioned on this podcast, is one of my strengths, one of the things I enjoy doing the most. And as I say, I'll confess, even more so after a toke, because you just get into a silly zone. And right away, charming young lady sat beside me with her boyfriend. And of course, the first thing I asked, is that the same guy you brought last year? And sort of could be taken as insulting, but if you know the person, it's also kind of a joke, But turned out last year we were sitting together on the sofa. She happens to know Mary Ito. And I'm a big fan of Mary Ito because I think she's just fabulous person, kind, humble. She's on CBC in Saturday, Sunday mornings. You'll hear her early morning. I wake up often to the radio and the sounds of her. And she's just so good at interviewing people. And so this person, who I saw again last night after seeing her the year before, personally walked up to Mary and said, there's a man in Scarborough who really admires you. And so she got that personal. I feel really good about that, that somebody, he really wants you to know how great he thinks you are, how talented, because a lot of people, even radio stars, not just podcasters, are unsung heroes, people who don't get enough support. It's not like the television people who would be recognized wherever they went and people would see them and know them and so on. Radio, you're behind the scenes, but most of the people, certainly on CBC, who do it are very good. Anyway, it just meant that we had another delightful conversation, picked up right where we left off from the last time, and just a lot of laughter. And to me, that's what a party is about. It's not something you walk in, everybody's stiff and, But he said, there's a couple of people you just avoid. Some people get deeply into some conversation. Usually a couple of women might get into something and somebody's got an issue and somebody's got a lesson. And you don't even try and wedge your way into those conversations. But everything else is open. It's open season on conversation. And so it was kind of like the last person I want to speak to at a party like this. I always get an invite for Brian, too. That's why I stayed over at his place, okay? And why I got breakfast at his place this morning. I invite him along and say, do you mind if I bring my friend Brian? Some people will say yes, some people will say no. Anyway, Food Fellow was generous enough, remembers us from last year. We were the last two to leave pretty well, pigging out on the food that they share. Especially the little sandwiches, just like a 1-inch thick, or not thick, but the width. They're just cut in strips, for loaf of bread. So it's just lovely. Bite size. You just chomp, chomp, chomp. 3 bites and you got the sandwich down. And fresh and, delightful. Especially after a night of drinking. Now, where were we? Okay, Food Fella. Well, Brian. So when Brian's at the party, he's the last guy I want to talk to because I can talk to him anytime. So we station ourselves in opposite sides of the room, he was entertaining a couple of charming women on one set of stairs. I was sitting between two others and the other. And we do laugh a lot about the fact that we are harmless. Like if we were in our 30s, we couldn't do or say the things we can now. But as a, harmless 65-year-old man, you can get away with almost anything, short of reaching out and touching, you're not supposed to do that, but a lot more you can do. And it's just fun and nobody's offended. Nobody's harmed by it. And I think he's also a teacher. And as I've mentioned this before with Anthony, as a teacher, you have to know how to use your voice. You have to be able to think on your feet. You have to develop this skill of conversation. And basically, the point is you want to keep people entertained. And it doesn't mean going on at length with one of your stories. That certainly helps. I mean, we do play the Nigeria card. You know, we do play that. It's a good opener. And the Japan card and anything else. But you let other people tell their stories, too. You don't try and sit there and think, hey, I've done everything. You haven't. We don't do that. We don't do that, you know. And you enjoy hearing other people's stories, and you're smug with the satisfaction of, my stories are better. But, no, you don't do that. You don't even feel that. You don't even think that, okay? Come on. Take people for who they are at different stages in their lives. And I guess really what I'm saying, it's just a hell of a lot more fun hanging out with younger people than it is with people my own age who I don't hang out with. And anybody I do and see and hear from, generally speaking, don't mind me saying, a little bit boring. Okay? So I've just had a Tim Hortons, I think it was called a white ginger hot chocolate or ginger white hot chocolate. Man, was it ever good. It's on special now, $1 for a small one. It was tasty. Went through the drive-thru for my regular coffee, saw this, and I'll give that a try. And man, I'm ever glad I did. So I haven't been home yet. I'm on my way. I'm just stopping by to bring you up to date. There's always a lot of parties in December going on. Oh, I got shit to do. I got to put up our Christmas lights. Damn it. I just want to go home and have a nap. But no, I don't. I think there's other things I should be doing tomorrow. I invigilate exams. I start marking. Oh, my God. And we'll see where we get to from there. Always good catching up with Brian. So in the morning after, over breakfast, and this morning, you know, we catch up on our lives, our families, and everything else. And that's it. All right, boys, girls, nothing new in there, but that's the way it goes sometimes on the Dixon James podcast. And I tell people, hey, tune in, but it's not always going to be interesting. And there are far more interesting podcasts out there about topics and things you might want to hear about. This is just sort of coming along with an old friend and just hearing him ramble. That's what the Dixon James podcast has become. All right. That's it. It's the best I can do. Fuck you. Bye for now. We'll be right back.
We've come to an end of another Dixon Jeans podcast. Coming at you since the spring of 2005. Always at the end, I feel a little disappointed. I'm glad to have it done. There's a feeling of satisfaction. Holy shit, I've put out an hour of material. I've included some songs. I've done it with no effort. It's just sort of the words just tumble out as they are now. And it's a good feeling, and it's the act of doing it, as we've mentioned many times, that is the thing. And the end result is almost secondary. But as a listener, you're only getting the end result. You're not getting the process, the doing. So I'm always a little bit self-conscious about, damn it, they've listened for an hour, and what did they get out of it? They heard how much fun Ken had at parties. And that just saddens me just a little that I don't have more to give. The mandate of this thing, if any, was just to share your inner thoughts and feelings and let other people know it's okay to be a fuck-up, because we all are. And I still think that's a very relevant and very important message, because I think all of us are hard on ourselves, and we beat up on ourselves, and we note our own failings, some of us more than others, perhaps. Some people who should be taking a closer look at their weaknesses maybe just aren't. And those are the people that just piss us off in general. But I think there are many of us out there who are just a little too hard sometimes and too self-critical. And I think there's some kind of a balance down there. You've got to celebrate the things you do well. You've got to just, you do have to love yourself, as hard as that may be. And it's something I don't think I'm very good at. You may say the opposite. You may say, well, dude, it sounds like you're fucking so full of yourself now that what else do you, would you have room to love? But that's not quite true. It's not really the way I feel. Anyway, what I was trying to get at, damn it, and I'm doing the same thing, was the world around me is talking about Nelson Mandela, and here I am talking about how much fun it is talking to girls at parties. Which really sounds quite trivial and quite silly and is embarrassing to own up to. But what can I say about Nelson Mandela? That, you know, I get tired of, it's like the Lou Reed that just passed and the person before and the person before. Everybody's there. Everybody cares. Everybody feels it. But do they really? And what significance does it really have in their lives? And some people do genuinely. You know, I wouldn't criticize anybody. I think we should all be touched. As I watched on television, I mean, tears come to your eyes and you realize, wow, this man overcame the adversity and forgave his enemies. And he didn't come at it sort of as a Christian Bible thumper. I did this because this is what the Lord taught me. He did it because it was the morally right thing in his mind to do. Whereas we know, 999 other people, or perhaps, you know, in the thousands, would have just come out looking for blood and revenge. And that really was moving, and it's a lesson for everybody. And this is a time in human history when we really need heroes, and Nelson Mandela certainly is one. So I guess I'll end on that note. Maybe I will talk. I wanted to say something about the ANC. I had the pleasure, I guess, of meeting somebody when I was in Nigeria. It would have been 81, 82, at some small gathering with a few other CUSO volunteers. I don't know why. And I remember a man from ANC, the African National Congress, of which Nelson Mandela was affiliated at the time, talking about the love of his country, the land, the beauty. And I had a one-on-one with him, and I could see it through his eyes. He truly loved his country. And then just either just before or just after said, but right now, the tools we need and the thing we need to do our job is the AK-47. And it saddened me. There was this love of the land and beauty and pride in South Africa, and yet a feeling that the only way out was just to kill the bastards who are keeping the black people down. And Nelson Mandela rose above that and took them forward by leaps and bounds and set an example for the world to try and follow. I'll leave it there. This is the end, and thank you for listening, and I'll be back next week, and who knows, maybe I'll talk about something a little more substantial. I wouldn't bet on it, but hey, wait and see. Bye for now.